You find yourself out walking in the rain. The wind is howling like a runaway train. A voice calls out, a raspy refrain. Answer my riddles or ye will go insane. Ahead on the path is a dark domain. A man stands in front dressed in rags and chains. He says, come inside and I'll ruin your brain. Welcome to Bonjo's House of Pain.
You two look pretty sheepish.
I'm feeling sheepish.
Well, we're entering...
Well, we're entering a metal-walled paddock.
Yeah.
Aren't we? And we're feeling sheepish. We've been herded in.
By the metal sheepdog.
Yeah. By the metal sheepdog. So I think we've got every right to feel a little bit uneasy.
It's a sheepdog made of mattocks.
Mm-hmm.
And the farmer...
The farmer's going to tear our wool from our very flesh.
That's what we're worried about.
Mm. Yeah.
He's going to tear it straight off.
With sheer force of will.
With sheer force of will. Then it'll be an acid bath to get the hooves, slough the hooves off.
Yeah.
And then literally just crack the antlers off with his hands.
Yeah. Put a bit of mash on the top.
Bit of mash on the top.
Family tea's done, isn't it?
Yeah.
Optional fried egg.
And the whole thing topped up with a fried egg?
Mm.
Yeah, optional fried egg.
Lovely touch.
Yeah. Okay. Would you say there's two kinds of dishes in the world of food? There are ones which come with an optional fried egg and one which don't.
Some that are enhanced with a fried egg and others that are ruined by a fried egg.
Yeah.
But most things enhanced, right? I mean,
I think tiramisu? Speaking.
Creme caramel, I think, with a fried egg isn't...
I think you could get away with it because it's like a sort of frozen over Alaskan lake or something, isn't it? You can deal with it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
In the case of a creme caramel.
And also, it's a kind of... The egg... Well, egg can go both ways, can't it? I think I'm right in saying.
Egg... What do you mean?
Well, it's both a daytime and a nighttime food.
It's exactly... Mm-hmm. It can be after hours, can't it? You could say, for example, welcome to
egg. Do you
want
to come back to mine for an egg?
For
some egg. For some skrek. I've got a skrek machine.
Yeah. Or, for example, a jazz trio could be called the Funky Egg Brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah, David Farnaby and the Funky Egg Brothers.
Yeah. That would be fine.
No, you're right, because you can dress it up or down insofar as it can be a savoury, but it's kind of a sweet egg.
And it's incorporated in so many sweets and desserts, right?
It is.
Where's your meringue without your egg?
What's weird, though, is so you get a lot of egg in sweet foods, your custards, your meringues, but you'd never just have a sugared fried, like a fried egg with icing sugar on top. But the more I think about it, it might be quite nice.
Bit of sugar, bit of cinnamon. Little cream layer and then jam layer and then another fried egg on top. And
an eggzania.
It's an eggzania or it's a Victoria egg, isn't it?
Or a Victoria egg.
Mm. A Black Forest egg.
Yes.
Peach egg.
A crunchy kombucha egg for the hipsters. I don't really know what kombucha is.
Well, we still don't. It's too late.
How about... By the way, on the topic of lasagnas, recently, Ben, I was having a little walk around the city of London.
Okay.
So things like Monument, the Bank of England, things like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The Corporation of London, the square mile, that sort of business. Yeah.
I came across a restaurant called a lasagneria.
Ooh.
Yes, exactly. I knew I'd get that noise. I've recorded that noise and now it's mine. Scammed. What I can do with that noise. It's completely genuine.
Yeah. And this is Chris Rea's younger brother, difficult younger brother, isn't it? Who he funded his restaurant. And And I hope it's successful now.
That's right. It's Lasagna Rea.
Yeah.
That's right. So you go in and everything is themed after Chris Rea's younger brother.
And sorry to go there, but it's also a symptom you can have after eating too much lasagna, isn't it? Otherwise known as bechamel arse.
So anyway, it's a lasagneria. So Ben, can you imagine that? Because I know, Ben, you're a huge lasagna fan.
I'm a huge lasagna fan. I do want to go there. But
hang on. What I want to hear now is that there's one or a maximum of two options for the lasagna. And what I want it to be like, it's the lasagna, and maybe there's a vegetarian lasagna that's a slightly smaller one. But ideally, just one. I just want it one lasagna. That's it. That's the menu. I don't want to hear that you can have a crunchy nut cornflakes lasagna. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to hear that you can have a minstrel's lasagna. I don't want any of that going on.
Even though you're coming up with brilliant idea after brilliant idea. each one more brilliant than the last.
Is Mike the boy who spoke brilliant lasagna ideas?
It's a unique talent.
He
hated his
lasagna
gift.
Idea.
But the tragedy is he only wants a normal lasagna, but he can't order one. He can just order more and more fabulous lasagnas.
Oh, it's Shakespearean, isn't it?
It's Shakespearean. Yeah.
We've talked about this phenomenon before, but last year I went to Bologna,
yeah,
which is home not just of Bolognese, but the lasagna.
Okay, right, interesting.
And I had a lasagna kind of in one of these restaurants where it's like, this is one of the first places to serve the lasagna. And it was really nice, but...
Okay.
But like...
But it wasn't...
Like, I'll have as good a lasagna in Chris Rea's brother's lasagna, probably.
But that's one of the miracles of lasagna.
Well, that's it, yeah.
That it is masterable. It's not It's not an opaque, dark art. It's one of the greatest gifts to the world. You know?
It really is. I mean, she's an incredibly forgiving mistress, isn't she? Lasagna. There's no other way of saying it. I mean, but no, because there are so many different ways that lasagna.
And it's all about what goes on between the sheets.
Lovely stuff.
And so many more sheets than you're used to with a standard mistress. She's like got eight sheets. But she is. She's just a very incredibly forgiving mistress. At the end of the day,
I just want to now make and eat a lasagna.
I know, that's the trouble. But no, but there are so many different. So, like the lasagna template that I got used to growing up, like most, like a lot of people, was my mum's lasagna. Mm-hmm. And my mum's lasagna, like, it's a great lasagna. It's my favourite lasagna. I love my mum's lasagna. But according to most lasagna norms, it would be seen as quite a dry lasagna.
Okay.
Interesting.
But I love my mum's lasagna. And I remember being taken out to dinner by some friends when I was at school, right? Mm. They took me out to a really nice Italian restaurant. Me and my friend and his family went to this really nice Italian restaurant. I may have said this on... I've checked in my mind. It's not a very good story, but it doesn't necessarily mean I haven't told it, does it? It's not. I still could have told it. But anyway, it was quite a fancy restaurant. It was quite a big deal that we were all there, and it was like a big deal in my life that they were taking me to this restaurant, and they knew that it was a big deal. And there's this thing, I'm going to have lasagna. And I ordered the lasagna, right? And this was my first non-maternal lasagna.
Wow.
It's a big
which set. Is obviously a massive rites of passage moment, isn't it?
Yeah. I remember that, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in some cultures, you're taken out into the wilderness.
And given a hallucinogenic lasagna.
A lasuesca.
And then you have to try and the challenge is, can you make it back to the village?
You have to see if your spirit world representative will teach you how to make a really smooth roux.
Things that, Henry, what can happen also is that, for example, like an aunt can be a cuckoo in the nest when it comes to lasagna and bring a lasagna into your family home, disrupting the dynamic of the nuclear family.
Yeah. And this takes years of therapy to unpick. Years.
I'm just beginning to actually understand that about my own life.
It's so complex.
And the decisions you've made as a result.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Because I remember for a while you kept on telling me about you having nightmares about an L-shaped lasagna. Do you remember?
Well, that's it. I would see the sign "Bienvenue à Lille." Yeah. The big L on the Lille would be an L-shaped lasagna. Yeah.
That's right.
And I still haven't really put together what that means.
Yeah, and that's why you still remain one of the few British people who's been to Lille.
Right, well, I keep going back because I'm looking for something. I just don't know what.
So I had this lasagna in this restaurant, and what was presented in front of me, because I'd never seen any other lasagna apart from my mum's very, very, very nice, top, but arguably slightly dry lasagna.
Yeah. And that can help as a structure, can't it? You know.
Yeah, very structured. In terms of earthquake proofing, it's second to none.
Get in the lasagna.
We trained for this. No, we haven't got time to get the cat. She can hide under some meatballs.
Chopped olives ballast.
Well, structural tapenade. Yeah.
I quite like chopped olives in it. I know it's you're not well, it's meant to be in it, but I had one there recently where there's chopped olives and it was very good. Anyway, well, carry on.
So this lasagna, it got presented to me. It was in a kind of metal, it was in a very low metal dish. So it didn't look anything like what the hell I was expecting to see. So my mum's lasagna stands proud of the plate because it's so structurally has such great structural integrity. Whereas this one was like a kind of, it was almost like a kind of hot red soup. Almost. It was very liquidy and it was kind of swimming in this low metal dish.
Yes. The tall, proud, the lasagna that would be a sort of decent functioning sort of rugby prop forward is a very British approach to a lasagna.
That's right, yes.
I think.
Yeah. And sometimes we would stick it in a pair of shorts.
And send it to some trials.
Some trials.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this one was much more of a sort of, well, I suppose a prop forward that had been crushed to death.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine this lasagna, and I don't think that's what I want out of a lasagna.
Yeah, so I could picture it and almost taste it to this day because it was so shocking to me. The very, very violently red sauce that it was in and very hot, wet layers of pasta.
It's a difficult thing to take on. I tell you what is, that lasagna, what you really need with that lasagna, particularly if you presented it with it in a sort of a restaurant environment, you need someone, without you asking, to present it with a side of chips.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Don't make it a positive decision. Present the chips, and then you've got the option to say no, but don't make it that you have to disgrace yourself by saying,
"Yeah,
I want chips."
Yeah.
that's great customer services.
Yeah. Yeah. If your chef is making a dippy lasagna, a dippy drippy splatster,
then the chips would just be there, delicately placed.
Yeah. A little wink and a nod. Yeah.
Maybe even an apology. Apologies for the chips. So. But I hope you understand.
Yeah.
So totally taking the moral weight of the decision away from you.
Yes.
Is what you want.
Yeah. And that lasagna, the sloppy one, that will always be hotter than Satan's reflux. There is no hotter object in creation.
All the Rennies in the world couldn't quite it. Yeah, no, I was incredibly hot, Mike. I remember that as well. It was this kind of searing, sort of like physical challenge. It wasn't my mum's lasagna, mum's sturdy, comforting, structural lasagna. Mm-hmm. It was this kind of wet, almost like subterranean, slightly Satan. It had a bit of Satan about it. Yeah. It was quite hellish. It was bubbly and red and hot. Mm. And
it's quite disturbing, isn't it, to see a teenager in a restaurant shouting, "I just want my mum's lasagna."
Yeah.
What is this? I want my mum's lasagna. Yeah.
My tears are turning to vapour. That's how hot this lasagna is.
I wonder whether in the future it would be quite hard for us to organise if we could all have to make a lasagna and then taste each other's lasagnas.
Mm. Oh, wow.
But I don't know how we'd manage to do that, but, you know. It's a nice idea.
With the wonders of 3D printing.
Yes.
3D printer. So anyway, quickly, so what happened was, this was the moment, which I'm pretty sure I had discussed on the pod before, but anyway, they said to me, there was this moment when the family, they all just said to me, so Henry, is this as good as your mum's lasagna? Because I'd been vaunting and talking about my mum's lasagna a lot, and how I love lasagna, love my mum's lasagna, my mum's lasagna. And they said to me, Henry, is this as good as your mum's lasagna?
And you said, get my mum's lasagna out of your mouth. I kissed my mother with that lasagna. You dare.
Well, it was such a tricky situation because it was like I've been treated to this family taking me out. I've been heavily trained by my mum in the arts of making other people's parents like me.
Yeah.
Almost sickeningly polite.
Yes.
Habsburg diplomat levels.
To the point where that is more important than how you treat your friend.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm sweet talking the mum and the dad.
Yeah.
I'm asking him, you know, about how it's going in the city.
Yeah.
And we're sort of, you know, making small talk about stocks and shares.
Giving
and stuff.
Him tips about the Epsom races. Yeah.
That's right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. All that stuff.
Commiserating about Nick Leeson.
Commiserating about Nick Leeson. And with the mum, I'm saying things like, you know what? Spoil yourself. You look great for your age. Get that leopard's
in boob tube. Just do it. I've got the perfect conversation for
for a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah. So they put me in this. I had this dilemma, which is they're asking me now. I know my mum would want, because my mum, I was so well trained at please and thank yous and thank you notes. You couldn't fucking take a shit around me without me writing you a thank you note. For it. So my mum had trained me to say, you know, of course this is the best thing I've ever had, whatever. But then so they'd almost set me the perfect sort of dilemma. Yeah,
which way do you betray your mother is the question.
Which way?
Either way is betrayal.
Either way is betrayal.
Wow.
And you know what? I said, actually, I prefer, this isn't as good as my mum's.
And that's the way you said it.
Yeah. But I think, you know what? I think what that means is I failed the kind of rites of passage moment. I think if I'd said, you know what? This is actually better than my mum's. Screw her. The walls would have fallen down. My parents would have been sat there on a raised dais watching the whole event.
Your mother would have torn her old recipe to shreds.
Yeah.
And he's taken on the new recipe. You never would have eaten the traditional lasagna ever again.
Yeah. And then I'd have walked through a sort of man-shaped, erect lasagna in a sort of in a sort of metal human-shaped tray that doesn't have a bottom or a top. So you walk through it and you come out the other end covered in burning hot lasagna, but reborn. And then I'm offered a choice of three wives.
And you choose them by tasting their lasagna. Don't you?
Their lasagna. That's what could have happened. Yeah. But I think I totally failed the. But yeah. I stuck with them. But it was a very socially difficult moment. I said, oh, you know what? I think my mum's is better, which really hurt me to say because it's such a horrible, rude thing to say, isn't it? When someone's taking you out for dinner. But they shouldn't have asked a question, maybe.
Could you have said, this lasagna is exactly as nice as my mother's lasagna?
Oh, fuck. That's good, Ben. That's diplomatic.
Yeah, Ben would have done, yeah, just as good. Very different, but just as good.
Yes.
Yeah, there we go.
That's what I should have done. Oh, well.
Anyway, this is Bonjo's House of Pain.
Yes.
It is Bonjo's House of Pain.
And today's House of Pain is taking the form of what I'm a bit worried is quite a Boring Bastards old Boring Bastards music quiz.
Sounds lush. Sounds absolutely lush.
Because you hear the words music quiz and you think, oh, maybe I'll hear music. No.
Are we not going to hear any music?
No, this is mainly about numbers.
This is very much credit list stuff. Yeah. Right? This is which session bassist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Played during which time codes.
Yeah. Yeah. This is Stuart McConey. It's Paul Gambaccini.
Yeah.
It's the boring end of music. It's people interested in how long things were in the charts for, things like that.
And a listening experience, it's probably going to be me and Henry sort of getting nothing right, I'm going to say.
Yes. I've got no interest in this kind of shit. I'll tell you that. Next.
So Henry's already, he's physically here, but.
I've nailed my colours to the mast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so let's just go for it.
Let's just go for it.
I'm not hopeful that I'm gonna thrive, but I'm excited.
Okay.
Also, but presumably you can listen along at home if you want. Listen along at home if you want. I suppose just turn it off. So you can listen along to this quiz. I mean, yeah, that's what we're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, because obviously most of our episodes, they do stop dead at about this point because we assume everyone else has turned off.
So everyone's checked out. I think we're right.
I mean, we say they're an hour long off the normal episodes, but they're very rarely more than 12, 30
In the same minutes. Way that halfway through the book Middlemarch, it's just the word arse for 60 pages. Hardly anyone's ever noticed. Yeah. All right. That's why it's called Middlemarch. It's a joke on middle arse. Isn't it? Because March is an anagram of arse if you...
if you really put your mind to it.
It's a visual anagram if you move the M round and just reposition it a bit. All right, come on.
So there's a few different rounds. Let's start with this one. This is about... I'm going to give you two artists. Music artists.
And before we do this, we've got to give this quiz some sort of name.
The Boring Bastards Music Quiz.
Okay, great. Right, nice one. Boring Bastards Music Quiz. Good.
BBMQ.
BBMQ. Okay.
I'm going to give you two artists. And I want you to tell me who has released the most studio albums in the UK. This does not include live albums, compilation albums, greatest hits, or soundtrack albums.
Ooh.
It's just kind of your studio album.
Okay.
Okay, so quickly, can I just say, so I don't care about this kind of thing, so I'm refusing to answer. Putting that down.
The first one, refusing to answer.
I'm
don't
all
care
in.
About this kind of thing.
I'm all in.
No. I'm up for it. All right, come on then.
Now,
who's released the most studio albums in the UK?
Yeah. Now, you're both going to answer all of the questions, so I want you to write them down.
Okay.
So you can't change your answer once you've said it.
So is it answers at the end, pub quiz style? No. I thought that's what you were saying.
It's more like answer at the end, sort of GCSE style.
Okay, cool.
It's much drier than your normal pub quiz, Henry.
We can make this half as fun as a GCSE.
Yeah.
We've exceeded my expectations in this game. Come on.
Okay, who's released the most studio albums in the UK? Van Morrison or Cliff Richard?
By the way, should we do a little thing? Because we're not playing the music, just to give it a bit of colour.
Oh, me and Mrs. J. Stevens.
Is that
Cliff Richard?
That's literally that? Van Morrison. No,
I've already answered the question.
No, it's a good idea, Henry. So I'll give you the name of the artist, and then you must do an impression of the artist. So is it Van Morrison?
It's quite sort of chaotic, isn't it?
It's quite impressionistic, but
they're impressionistic impressions is what I do. It's actually quite unique.
Yeah. Okay. And or Cliff Richard.
I'm perfectly safe.
Very good.
Very good.
A shit Elvis. I like going on a summer holiday and not listening to any Cliff Richard records while I'm doing it.
Okay.
I thought I deserved a bit more than that.
We have it in laser.
All right, good. Thanks, guys. Right, so.
I'll come to Mike first.
I haven't written mine down yet, so it's very much one or t'other with this one, isn't it? Who released the most UK studio albums?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't really. It genuinely doesn't matter, does it? I mean, but fine, all right.
I'll give you a bit of a clue.
I've got one.
So, for example, Cliff Richard.
You can't give a clue when it's 50-50. I mean, how can you give a clue when it's 50-50?
That's mad.
I'm just framing the question for you. So it doesn't include his foreign-only releases.
Oh, sorry, I'd factored those in. Give me a minute.
So, for example,
nosotros vamos on un holiday vacaciones. What are the foreign releases?
Well, it doesn't include, for example, his album 40 Years of Hits in Holland. Right. Or My Danish Collection. That's not included. It doesn't include his 2012 live album, Let Me Tell You Baby, .. It's called Rock and Roll.
And by the way, My Danish Collection, that's not a collection of songs for Denmark. It's him talking about a bunch of hams he's collected over the years, isn't it?
Yeah. It doesn't include the 1964 cast recording of the show Aladdin and His Wonderful Lamp.
That feels like they've had to give it a weird title like that to get around some copyright thing.
Yeah.
Because it's never called Aladdin and His Wonderful Lamp.
Wonderful Lamp.
It's never a wonderful lamp. All right, okay. Cool.
So I'm coming to Mike first.
For my answer?
Yeah.
I've gone for Cliff Richard.
Okay. And Henry?
This, by the way, this is great drama because I've gone for Van Morrison.
And the answer is Cliff Richard.
Yes. Okay. Here we go. By a long way or close or?
So Van Morrison's released 45.
Wow. Bloody hell, that's a lot.
And Cliff Richard has released 47 albums.
In a much shorter space of time as well, right? I'm assuming Van Morrison's are over decades and decades and decades, whereas Cliff's, I bet most of Cliff's are like quite a sort of pop factory. Absolutely.
No, Cliff's still going. Like Cliff's every year.
He's been going forever.
Like and
they're both
Christmas.
They're both still going, aren't they?
Yeah, Van Morrison's gone down the anti-vax route now.
Yeah, apparently he's a big git, isn't he? There's a lot of...
Yeah.
And there's a kind of... Brown-eyed girl... He must have made so much money off that. That's just.
But if you've made that many albums, it must be so irritating. That still is the only song.
The only
most
one anyone has a remote toss about.
Yeah,
I saw him live once at Green Man Festival, and he could not have made it clearer that he hated us all and hated being there and didn't want to do it. It was so good. He didn't look at us. Didn't speak to us.
Do you like that in a star? Do you like?
He barely sang. He just went. And the band played.
Can you imagine if that microphone had gone to Van Morrison at Wimbledon? He'd just been like, oh, get the fuck. Is that fair? Is that okay?
That's fine.
Very different personas. But I'd struggle to name three songs by either of them. It's just...
Yeah, I think I've basically
hang on,
I've
just
broken
a rival quiz has just broken out within
a splinter
within
quiz.
Quiz pupating within Ben's quiz parasite quiz has started to evolve. Which is, can you name three songs by Van Morrison or Cliff Richards? Over to you, Mike.
No,
Ben.
Okay, Wired for Sound.
What?
Wired for Sound.
Who's that by?
Cliff.
Yeah.
Millennium Prayer.
Yes, of course.
And Living Doll. That's my three for Cliff.
Living Doll.
Well done.
My three for Van Morrison are Brown Eyed Girl.
There's a lot of stuff about some, like, Mrs. Something Down Something Street. Oh, he's got loads of songs.
Oh, is there one called The Right Side of the Road? The Dark Side of the Road?
Oh, that's a good one.
On the dark side. I can't remember what it's called. And Moon Dance.
Well, BP.
It's a wonderful... He's quite good, actually. It's quite jazzy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Cliff is just... Well, Cliff is Granny's choice, isn't he? And has been for a long, long... Maybe since the beginning, almost.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny.
Which is interesting, because he's gone through a few generations of Grannies now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So something happens to Grannies when you become a Granny. Something affects your musical taste, clearly.
You get into Cliff.
Yeah. It's a bit like when you stand by some speakers and there's the bass note reverberates just right in your lungs, you know. It's different for different people. There's some frequency is going through to grannies, but specifically.
That's another thing, by the way, which you may notice if in your concert, anywhere with big speakers, you may see provincial middle-aged dads standing next to the speakers in order to experience the sense of the reverberation that goes through their torsos. Yeah.
To experience anything, any sensation, really.
Just so they can feel something.
Yeah, they're just desperately trying to get their knob working, aren't they? That's the thing.
They're just hoping it'll somehow kickstart the knob. Because the irony is, they can restart a knackered old lawnmower. they can restart a rusty old hedge trimmer.
Yeah.
But getting the barnacles off that sorry little fucking... Yeah. It's a different challenge. But anyway.
Okay, question two.
Oh, if only the Willy had a sprocket, eh?
Willy had a sprocket.
But where do you start?
And an instruction manual.
Next question. Metallica or Mariah Carey, who's released the most albums in the UK?
Okay. I feel confident on this one.
I'm glad we've stopped the thing of singing for each one.
Oh, no, I forgot about that. So, Henry, that Metallica? Good. Mike, Mariah Carey.
Lots of rumours about riders, lots of rumours about riders and bananas and a puppy and a puppy and a banana and a banana and a puppy in the backstage room.
Yeah, so the story is, isn't it, that she wants a puppy and a banana, and it's the puppy which is the thing you have to turn into, which goes into the Vitamix and gets smoothied. and she eats the banana whole, and that's what people often get wrong.
Well, she takes the banana for a walk.
Until it shits.
Until it shits. And then she gets it spayed, which you can only get done by a mafia vet, isn't it?
Yeah, and then she just leaves in the service station.
Yeah.
Okay. Henry, do you have your answer?
I'm going for Metallica, but again, I just couldn't give a fuck either way. Okay.
I have also gone for Metallica.
Okay. Well, Metallica have released 11 albums in the UK.
Mm. Is that all? Albums.
Yeah.
That's pathetic compared to Cliff and
Mariah Carey's released 16.
Oh man,
it's because it'll be Christmas ones and we. Yeah, but yeah.
I think she's just consistently been releasing albums, basically.
Yeah.
And you have.
That's how I thought of Metallica. I think of them still sort of churning.
Yeah.
They keep popping up.
The Christmas... we've talked about this before, haven't we? But Mariah Carey, she wrote that Christmas one. That's a huge earner for her. It's a brilliant Christmas song.
All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Mm. Yeah. I think it's the last great... it's the last great Christmas song, I think, that's been made. I don't think there's been a great Christmas pop song since then that truly earns its place in the... as a jewel in the crown of the Christmas tiara, which is my that's my Christmas album. I'm releasing covers of Mariah Carey. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I struggled to think of a banger of that level.
So Metallica, I know nothing about Metallica, because Metallica are one of those bands, you know, it's that thing with heavy metal bands where they're absolutely massive.
They sell big millions of records,
they have huge concerts. But if you're not into them, you know nothing, like nothing. Nothing penetrates through to
the greater metal public. Is quite sort of closed off, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pop, which you're always going to hear something about pop, even if you're not following it.
In the dentist's waiting room.
Yeah.
You're going to hear pop, aren't you?
Yeah, and you're going to hear about pop, you know.
Yeah.
And the romances and the gossip and all that kind of stuff. No one's getting Metallica to do a sort of bit part, are they, in Paddington somewhere, you know?
No, maybe in a horror movie you could have Metallica in it, that'd be fun.
Yeah, I couldn't name a song by Metallica, though.
Really?
Can you?
What? The most famous one the non-metal ones people know is And Nothing Else Matters.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's all...
That's not bad.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, heavy metal? Mm. I think it's when you're a kid, you think that there's something intimidating about heavy metal.
It's all the skulls, isn't it?
I think it's the skulls.
I mean, they'll try... all of the iconography is very...
The skulls and the fire and the swords.
The skulls, the fire.
Sometimes zombies.
Zombies.
Yeah.
And actually the sound of the music. Like, you think it's this terrifying thing. But then actually when occasionally I do listen to a heavy metal song or I see something on telly, or listen to something, it's just not remotely, it's just like pathetic. I feel like I could easily take on Metallica. Do you know what I mean? I just don't feel like, I didn't find it threatening at all.
Interesting. Take them on in a skirmish, you mean?
In a skirmish? Or whatever the fuck they want, I'm waiting, baby. Fucking bring it to me. Do you want to play chess naked? You want a fist fight just when I go and see a film together, but then like have a fight on the way
metal
out?
Metal musicians whatever also tend to be very, very good musicians, interestingly, as well.
Well, metal fans are famously sort of the loveliest fans, aren't they? They always say, like, in gigs, they're always the nicest people.
That's the thing. It's just a lovely, nice... It's sort of like kids at Halloween, isn't it? It's just quite a sweet, nice, slightly pathetic sort of scene, isn't it? It's just not... Do you know what I mean? It's not frightening. I just feel... I reckon, like, the Pet Shop Boys versus Metallica in a fight. I think I'd go Pet Shop Boys. I just didn't think there's anything genuinely frightening about Metallica.
Mm.
Physically, they're quite large, aren't they?
Yeah.
They look handy, Metallica, but...
But Pet Shop Boys have got a keyboard.
I think Metallica fans versus Pet Shop Boys fans, the Pet Shop Boys fans win in the fight.
Yeah, okay, I think that's true.
Yeah. It might not be about physical strength there, it might just be about...
sass.
Sass and the willingness to do... fight
terrible
dirty
things.
Yeah, to fight nasty.
Okay, next one.
Yeah.
And bear in mind, we are doing the impressions.
Mm. Oh, God.
Snoop Dogg.
Over to you, Mike.
I've got a doobie-doobie-doobie and a doobie-doobie-doobie. I'm meeting my friend and I'm having a doobie. And then I'm doing a strange advert that I probably don't need to do, but I'm going to do a weird advert for cat food or a cat flap or a sort of shit bag or something. And then I go doobie-doobie-doobie-doobie-doobie-doobie-doobie.
And I'm present at all sporting events. I'm present at all sporting events. I'm also present at all sporting events.
Versus, and Henry, you have to do the impression of this person.
Yeah.
Dolly Parton.
Slow that down and play it backwards. And it's an excellent recipe for...
Grits.
For grits. Come on.
So, Snoop Dogg or Dolly Parton?
Okay.
Oh, it's a very... It sticks around this format point, doesn't it? Is the whole quiz this throughout?
No.
Just which one sell the... Okay, fine.
We can move on if you'd like.
No, I'm enjoying it. Okay, I've got my guess.
Yeah, me
okay,
too.
Mike, what's your guess?
I've gone for Dolly P.
Okay.
Me too.
Okay, so Snoop Dogg has released 21 albums.
Yeah.
It's quite a lot.
Yeah.
Dolly Parton's released 49 albums.
Yes.
Yeah. It was always going to be, I mean, the Doobies will affect your work ethic.
Yeah.
Famously.
Yeah.
You know.
And also, Dolly, she's one of those campaigners that's been around forever, is ultra professional.
Yeah.
And you could just see her just banging out albums.
If you bothered to get your own theme park up and running, you know.
Yeah.
You're banging.
Has she got her own theme park?
Yeah.
Dollywood.
Dollywood?
Yeah. Mm.
And you have to go then. You have to work from 9 to 5. It's really, really boring.
Just to get some perspective.
Okay, last one of these.
Oh, here's a quick question. Quiz within a quiz.
Yeah. Mm.
Quick fire. You've got 2 seconds to answer this.
Mm. Okay, who has to answer me or Bart? Me or Mike?
Your Bart?
Is it Bart? Didn't I?
It's Mike. But yeah, don't worry. Don't worry. It's fine. It's really fine. But it is Mike. Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, weirdly, the longer you know someone, it becomes awkward to ask. So eventually it can be a long time before these things get cleared up, because afterwards, like, can I ask him anymore what he's called? It's either Bart. It's either Bart or Lisa. And it's one of the two. So you've got 2 seconds. It's first one to shout out the right answer, aren't they? Okay. Gets it right. Is it Dolly Parton or Dolly Pardon?
Parton.
Tun.
Ben said it first. I haven't checked, but...
Well, you didn't need to. Because everyone knows the answer.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do another one then.
Yeah.
Bonus round. 2 seconds. Is it Adrian Childs or Adrian Childs?
Childs.
Correct, one each.
Yeah, as featured in Jimi Hendrix's song Voodoo Child.
Which is actually about Adrian Childs, isn't it?
Yeah.
When he was a child.
And his ill thought through family trip to Haiti. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, final question.
We've got the tiebreaker for you two.
Okay.
On quiz within a quiz challenge. How do you say people's surnames game?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can you think of any other ones that are on the cusp, but you don't for sure if you know, so there's four. Okay,
Splinter quiz has fallen to pieces.
Yeah, is it Denise Richard or Denise Richards?
Ooh.
Richards.
I don't know the answer.
I'm the quizmeister.
Yeah.
Hang on. Actually, no, I didn't think there was on. Right, that's a draw. Let's move on.
Manic Street Preachers, Henry, do your impression.
Politics, na 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 na. I believe in politics. Don't let Thatcher, na na na. Don't let Thatcher, na 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 na.
That's really good.
Mm.
So is it the Manic Street Preachers or Mike Suede?
I'm pretty sexy and svelte. I've got very narrow hopes, but I'm implying that I can move my willy like a magic wand.
Very good, both of you.
Okay. By the way, can I say one thing about the Manic Street Preachers that is true?
Yeah.
So my friend Will,
mm-hmm,
at university was a huge fan of the Manics.
Mm-hmm.
And he was well into all the politics and stuff. Do they have a lot of like album notes? They're a highly pretentious band, I'm going to say. They're so intellectual. It's like mad, the references and stuff they were making.
Mm.
And that their songs were so like deep and like intellectual, so many layers and so much politics. It was such a serious, heavy, sort of non-fun band.
Mm.
And then they did this song just called Australia, which as far as I could tell was just about Australia, just sort of saying Australia. And, like, maybe they're like, Australia! I want to go to Australia. Was it just like saying he wanted to go to Australia?
That's a really good question. Because, yeah, was Why there a just... sort of a meaning behind it?
Because it was such a political song and the band, and they just did a song where they were just saying Australia all the time.
That's a good point.
In Australia. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't really remember the song Australia.
It's a mystery.
Da, 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 da,
in Australia. What happened in Australia? Is it like a story about something that happened on a holiday or something?
From memory, it's just them talking about how it'd be nice to go to Australia because it's nice over there and they're stressed.
Yeah.
Because they've got an album, right? I think.
Motorcycle Emptiness, very good song.
They're all good songs.
Brilliant song.
Yeah.
Okay, so Manic Street Preachers or Suede, who's released the most albums?
Oh.
I got my answer.
Okay. Coming to Henry first.
I'm saying Manics.
I'm saying Suede.
Oh.
The answer is the Manic Street Preachers.
No.
I just think they're so pretentious and they've got so many thoughts on Thatcherism and stuff. You just have to keep banging that stuff out. They're never sated.
I think I was thinking of Suede because I think if you're using up guitarists, then you're kind of it's a sign that it's like changing a tire or something. It's just you're working a lot, you know.
Do they use up guitarists, Suede?
They've had a bit of a lineup change, haven't they?
Yeah. In my memory, they've done it a few times. They might have just done it once, but there's a bit of my brain associates them with repeatedly sort of like puncturing guitarists or whatever it is, and just having to sort of get new ones, and that implies to me work.
But I think the difference is that Suede had a bit of a hiatus, whereas the Manics have not stopped.
Yeah, Suede had a hiatus. In fact, I was there, I think, at one of the gigs at Latitude when they didn't turn up. No.
I was at that gig as well.
Yes.
Yeah, when they came back. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were fantastic.
They were fantastic.
He sort of looks exactly the same, which is weird.
He does look exactly the same. He also weirdly looks like a foot doctor that a friend of mine had to see at a period a few years ago. And I met this foot doctor, and the foot doctor did look a lot like the guy from Suede, and we were never quite sure if his break from Suede was involved in becoming a foot doctor for a while.
I like that. That's a good conspiracy.
It's a good conspiracy.
Get it on Reddit, mate. Come on.
Get it on Reddit.
Okay, time for the next round.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so will we get around to all of this? I don't know.
I tell you what, if there's any ones we don't get to,
yeah,
we can just delete them, because if you put stuff directly into trash on your laptop and then empty trash, then it doesn't take up any space. So it's a good solution.
Okay, so in this round, this is potentially quite hard.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to give you a world event, something that happened in the world in history.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just simply need to tell me any single that was released in that year.
Ooh.
Okay. But I won't tell you the year. I'll just tell you.
I like that. That's good. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going for the first one, which is the film Jaws enters the cinemas.
Okay. Sorry,
any
sorry.
Song.
Any song released in that year.
Does this count as a song?
So the song has to have charted, I'm going to say.
Okay.
In the UK or US?
Okay, I've got an answer.
Devilishly good question.
It's a very, very good question.
So, but interestingly, the fact that I've got no real idea what year it was in doesn't necessarily have a huge impact on my answer, because I also don't know what year any singles were released.
Double ignorance. But I think for the high end quizzer, this would be an absolute treat, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But I've got an answer though.
Okay, hang on. So just a single that was released.
Yeah.
In that year. Okay. So I'm going. Well, you know what? Quite interesting for people at home. Maybe I'm going to show you my thought process. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't know. Oh, no, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, now hang on. My thought process is so Jaws is 70s. I'm going to say 79. So, is it early 80s? But again, it makes no difference, because I don't know when anything was released. So it's fine. I'm immune to my first level of ignorance. It can't hurt me. But it's kind of 70s. It might be early 80s. So 70s, early 80s is things like...
David Bowie, maybe.
I'm trying to think what kind of music they could be playing in that film. Hey, Dave, what's on the radio? Ah, I'm being eaten by a shark. Ah, ah. But what's playing on the radio? Ah, ah. But that's not important. We need to save you.
You need to access the deleted scenes.
What's on the radio?
I'm going to hurry you, Henry.
I'm going to say Changes by David Bowie, which I think is total bollocks. But anyway.
That's good. Okay. That's a good answer. Okay. And what about you, Mike?
I've gone for ABBA's Mamma Mia.
I thought about ABBA as well.
So the year that Jaws was released is 1975.
Oh, I said 74. I had 74 written down.
But it doesn't...
Close.
But that doesn't affect anything, because you don't know when Waterloo was released.
No, but I'm pleased about that. I was close, you see. It's just gratifying.
Your pathetic little internal bookkeeping can be kept to yourself, thanks. Sorry, I shouldn't have. I let the mask down there, sorry.
Changes by David Bowie. Henry, can you do your impression of David Bowie?
Oh, a little man in space. Oh, no, I've gone to space again.
Okay. And Mike, your impression of ABBA?
Hearty, 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 hearty fun times.
Nice. Okay, so Changes by David Bowie was released in 1972, so not far off. Mamma Mia by ABBA was released in 1975, the same year as Jaws!
Good heavens above.
So Mike got it right?
Mike got it right.
Despite thinking he'd got it wrong.
Yes.
So ignorance isn't an enemy in this quiz fully. Because if you'd thought you'd got it right, you wouldn't have said that. You'd have said something else. Right?
Yeah, okay. So the next one, we're going to reverse it, okay? I'm going to give you a song.
Yeah.
And you need to tell me a world event that took place in that year.
Nice.
That the song was released.
Okay.
That's actually not strictly reverse. Okay. If we reversed it, you'd say Mamma Mia to us and we'd have to say the film Jaws. But I'll let it go.
Well, wait for it. That might be the question.
So you're going to give us a year?
No, I'm going to give you a song, single. You have to imagine when that single was released and give me
and
a
whether or not Jaws came out in that year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
So the song is by Coldplay.
Ah.
And the song is Yellow.
Yeah.
Can I say, I think that Coldplay is slightly bland and a bit naff. But maybe that's just because I've got a bit cool and stuff.
You've got a bit about you, haven't you?
Got a bit about me. I find a lot of their stuff a bit mainstream for me, actually.
Is it?
Yeah. So Coldplay, the song Yellow.
Yeah.
And what is the question, please?
So it was released as a single in a certain year, and I would like
correct.
You to give,
I'll take
I would
the point.
Like you to give me an event that took place in that year.
Oh, well, up yours, both of you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Screw you, competitor, and screw you, quizmaster.
Okay, yeah.
Because I happen to... It's not a lot of quizzes where the quizmaster can just eat Quality Street.
Sorry, I have eaten Quality Street throughout.
Just shoved a Quality Street in his gob. So I know an event for a fact that happened the year Yellow was released. Mm-hmm. I was in a van driving near the Tunnocks factory in Scotland.
Okay. Okay, that doesn't count. It needs to be something that would have
it
made
it happen, though, because I remember specifically that song
I've got an event
that year.
I've got an event.
It didn't make the news, although I did drive the van into a KFC and broke the sign, but that didn't make the news. So I can work out the year based on that, but again, it doesn't strictly matter because I don't know what year any songs came out. But just for my internal bookkeeping, like Mike does, I'll try and get the year right.
Okay.
Yeah?
I'm going to say...
Whoa.
Henry needs to do his answer first.
I haven't got a guess, mate. Right. I haven't done anything. Okay.
Henry, so can we hear your internal thought patterns again?
Okay. Oh, no. It's happening again. Oh, no.
Okay, hang on. Okay. The stakes are high, Henry. Don't fuck this up. Don't fuck this up like you did with the lasagna. You're crying into your lasagna, you silly little girl. So I was working in Glasgow at the time, because I remember we played that song, was playing all the time on in the van on the way to work. And I did have something about... Actually, to be fair, I didn't know that they were a bit bland by that point, because no one did, because they were still quite new. Mm-hmm. And they were quite indie and quite cool.
It's a good album.
So that would have been... So that's around 2001. I'm telling Mike. But it doesn't matter, because no one knows when anything was released. I keep on forgetting about that. So I'm saying it's 2001.
So it was before Coldplay kind of pupated and turned into their current form, which is all their songs go, hey, oh, hey, yeah, hey, 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 yeah. Hey, yeah, ho,
yeah.
Ho,
exactly.
Hey.
And they invented a new form of clothing, which they all wear, and a new form of, which involves like multicolored sort of stripy long T-shirts, yeah. And that form of dancing where it's just, hey, 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 I'm a hey, ho, hey. As you say, they've become a sort of chanting.
Yeah, it's very weird. Henry, I'm going to have to hurry you up.
So 2001. So you want a film from that year?
No, I want something that would have made the news in that year.
Oh, sorry. Oh, well, I've got one. It's not... I've got one.
Yeah, okay.
What?
It doesn't have to be a nice thing that happened.
So I'm going to write mine down.
Okay. So, Mike, what have you gone for?
I'm going to say the Millennium Dome was opened to the public.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because what year do you imagine that was opened to the public?
I imagine that's 1999.
Okay. Is that right, though?
There's so many different levels of smart arsery happening between both of you at this point.
I don't know.
As you might have thought, but actually I've extra thought because I think more about my thoughts than other people think about their thoughts.
So I've just looked it up, Mike.
Just chill out and have fun, guys.
It was open to the public on the 1st of January 2000.
Fair play. Was it just the VIPs in there before, was it?
So it was open the night before, and that's when Prescott was in there and the Queen and that lot.
And the huge fiberglass hand.
Okay, so I'm saying 2000 then, aren't I? Yeah.
So what's your answer, Henry?
I'm going for 9/11.
Okay. So Mike, despite sort of getting it wrong, has got it right, because it's it was the year 2000 that
yes!
Yellow was out.
Okay. Can I say, what I think is more important is the working out, not getting to the right answer. Mike got to the right answer with the wrong working out. That means that overall...
But I've done it the same way each time. I've been 1 year out the same way, and I've just transposed it. Basically, my memory is 1 year out of whack. So it's like a sniper adjusting their rifle slightly to the left or something. That's all that's happening.
So you can adjust for it on future answers, potentially.
I'm getting a direct hit every time.
Okay, well, Henry, you were very close, but that's no scale.
Because what, just 1 year off?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, next one. This I'm going to give you the world event. You give me a song from the year.
Okay, nice.
The year in which the Space Shuttle Challenger explodes.
Oh, golly.
Oh, God.
And maybe I can give you another. I can give you something else from that year as well.
No, that's okay. I think that's good. So just leave it at one. It's good.
Want a song?
I want a song that was released in that year.
Shall I go first this time? I think Mike went first last time. I'm going for Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror.
Nice. Okay. Nice. And Mike?
I Want to Break Free by Queen.
Can I have your impressions, please? Henry? Mike?
I'm doing a visual impression. Just with my
face. Yes. Mike's always...
Yeah.
Mike, can you stop doing an impression of Queen for a moment, please, for this, to mark this event?
Okay, so... Henry says Man in the Mirror. So the year that the Challenger exploded was 1986.
Oh, I've written 87 down, but again, it doesn't make a difference because I don't know what years things came out.
86.
Yeah, yeah, but well, it doesn't matter, Mike.
It doesn't matter to me. Mike, your internal bookkeeping party tonight is going to be one of the best, isn't it?
Yeah, because I've invited no one else. No one else can ruin it.
Yeah. I just remember this at school. And I remember Michael Jackson at school and that song. So I've just roughly pasted that in.
Man in the Mirror was released in 1988.
Mm. Oh!
No points.
But it's only 1 year off my year that I got wrong for the actual event. So my internal bookkeeping party, unfortunately, I've forgotten to order any cold buffet. So the party's had to be cancelled. Also, the toilets aren't safe. So... It's not happening.
And Mike, I Want to Break Free was released in 1984. So no points there. Okay, this is the last one of this kind. So I'm going to give you the song. I'm going to sweep it around. I'm going to give you the song. And you need to tell me a newsworthy event from the year in which that song was released.
Mm.
The song is Killing Me Softly by the Fugees.
Oh,
which is a cover, isn't it?
Oh, their cover of that.
Yeah. Okay, I've got my guess.
Okay.
Mike, what's your guess?
Tony Blair Sweeps to Power.
Okay.
Oh. I've got The Release of House in the Country by Blur, which I do see as a news event. It was so seismic.
Well, it kind of was a news event, right? Because was that the Blur versus Oasis thing?
Yes, it was.
So that was in the news, wasn't it?
Mm.
It was like the Battle of Britpop or whatever.
Because the year I've written, I think, is 98, which is the year after Blair sweeps to power, right?
So
I'd go for Blair celebrates the first anniversary of his sweeping to power.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah.
So hang on. What would have happened in 98? 97, they swept to power. 98.
You can have your Good Friday, Graham.
Oh, France win the World Cup, I'm pretty sure. Was that 9?
Yeah.
I feel like
yeah,
that was 9. So I'm going to say France win the World Cup.
Okay. You're both incorrect.
Oh, damn. But I was right within the segmentation of my own wrongness, in the sense that...
You were pachydonically wrong.
Okay.
So the year was 1996.
Oh, was both it? Too late.
Yeah.
So, but was I right that France won the World Cup in the same year as I thought they did?
Yes.
Yeah.
You are. And Mike was correct that Tony Blair swept to power in 1997.
And when was House in the Country?
Earlier than that, was it? I don't know, actually.
Because I was going to say, my initial thought was I was going to say Definitely Maybe. Is that, that's 90, is that 97? When's Definitely Maybe?
I'm going to say 96, Nelson Mandela meets the Pope for the first time.
Oh.
Oh, that's good. So we're trying to come up with 96. Okay, how about this? Tony Blair and Gordon Brown have their discussion of what will happen if they get into power in 1 year's time.
Famously.
The one-year pre-anniversary.
It was turned into a really fantastically dry, tedious play at the National, running for, for 6 months only.
Directed by Nicholas Hytnan, probably. Was it? Was that the one about their dinner in Granita? Do you know about that?
No.
I knew they had that dinner in Granita, yeah.
Granita, but, is this the way they made the deal?
Which is near where I grew up. So there's this restaurant called Granita. I don't know why. Like, loads of people have meetings and deals and stuff, and they don't remember the restaurant.
And promise to make someone else prime minister in a bit.
I do that all the time.
Yeah. So, Henry, had you gone with Country House being your news event?
Yeah.
I think I would have taken it because it's the Battle of Britpop.
Mm. Yeah.
That was 95, so you'd have been wrong.
But quite close.
Very close.
I am tend to be 1 year off, anyway.
I'm just looking up, when did Nelson Mandela first meet the Pope?
Mm.
1990.
Way off. Final round?
Yeah, final
Decider.
Question. Okay, so this is a whole new round.
I'm thinking it's neck and neck, isn't it? It's neck and neck.
I mean, you've both got a neck. Okay, so this is based on the idea of, I'm going to give you a song, and you need to tell me, did it, its peak chart position was higher in the UK or the US?
Nice.
Okay. And maybe we'll rattle through a few of these, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to suggest, by the way, I think Henry won the first round and I won the second round.
Really?
So unless anyone's keeping score.
I'm keeping score. Okay. It's 4 to Mike and 2 to Henry.
No, fine. So ignore that.
Okay. So it's neck and neck. Just one neck is...
it's a giraffe versus a small horse. So Last Christmas by Wham. Did it peak higher in the UK or the US charts?
Okay, I'm going to say... it's a tricky one. I want to say UK, but I'm going to say US because I think there's a thing which is it never got to number one, even though it's a really good Christmas song or something.
I'm going to say UK just because it should have got to number one in the UK.
So the answer I've got is that it got to number 2 in the UK and it got to number 1 in the US.
But you're somehow going to not give me the points.
Well, I wonder whether in subsequent years, whether Last Christmas has gone to number 1, but like last year. Do you know what I mean?
I think we were both thinking original release. So it was kept off the
top spot.
But did they know it was Live Aid, the Band Aid?
Yes, I think it was exactly that. So that's why it didn't get number 1. Yeah,
because I remember that fact that it's one of the great Christmas songs to not have been number one.
I just think that George, well, so at least George got a number one and a number two in a way, didn't he?
Yeah, he was involved in both, I guess.
Yeah.
It's what they call in the popular business, full toilet. Isn't it? He went full toilet.
The other one that didn't go to number one is Fairy Tale of New York never made it to number one.
Oh, really?
Mm. And it was kept off the top spot by, I can't remember, but it's a bad one.
Well, they're all worse than that. That is the best Christmas song of all time.
Didn't subsequently become a sort of a Christmas standard.
I'm going to look it up. Oh, that's right. So number one was the cover of Always On My Mind by the Pet Shop Boys.
Which was quite a good song, but not a Christmas song. But yeah. It was huge. I remember that being huge.
Yeah. Right. In fact, at that Latitude Festival where I saw Suede, I think I saw Pet Shop Boys.
Blimey.
Oh.
What year would that have been?
2010?
Yes.
Answer in world events, Ben.
The beginning of the wonderful coalition government.
The 13th anniversary of Blair sweeping to power.
Okay, so no points for anyone there.
Mm.
What do you mean? I got that one right. I said US.
It was US, Henry. Sorry.
We were on
Wham. Thank you, mate.
Yeah, sorry. You're all right. Yeah.
Something to Swing by Dire Straits.
Okay.
Basically, what you're really asking is, did these bands break America or not? Because, in a way...
I'm asking what I'm asking.
Sorry. I'm thinking, did they break America? I'm going to go... Okay, I've got my answer. Yeah.
Okay, so what's your answer, Mike?
USA.
Henry?
I'm going UK.
So in the UK, it got to number 8. In the US, it got to number 4.
Yes. Damn. That's a travesty, UK.
It was always going to be more popular in the US, a track like that, I reckon.
Okay. The Model by Kraftwerk.
Playing Rico. Was it playing? Such a good song. What's the question, sir? Sorry?
The Model by Kraftwerk.
Yeah.
meow, 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 meow. Such a good song.
Yeah, I've got my answer.
Me too.
Okay, Henry first.
I'm going UK. I reckon they didn't smash it.
Also UK.
Because it's very Euro. It's very European-centric.
It got to number one in the UK.
Yeah.
It got to number 39 in America. Yes.
Blimey.
So they never
You're missing out, those guys. Come on.
Take On Me by A-ha.
Okay, I feel confident with this.
Yeah?
Me too.
Okay, Mike?
UK.
Henry?
I'm UK as well, just because I remember that video and that song being everywhere for so long. It must have been number one for ages.
Got only to number two in the UK.
Really?
And was there only number one in the US? No points for anyone.
Well,
how can you write that song and not get a number one? Morton Harkett.
Pull your finger out.
Come on. That's awful.
Waterloo Sunset by the Kinks.
Ooh.
I'm Googling what kept A-ha off number one. That's a good question.
Are you accidentally typing in where Waterloo Sunset went in the US and UK charts?
No. Waterloo Sunset by the Kinks?
Yeah.
Okay, I've got a guess for that.
So Take On Me was kept off the number one spot in the UK by The Power of Love by Jennifer Rush, which is an absolute bang fest.
Fair play.
Okay, so Mike, Waterloo Sunset?
I've gone for a bit of a wacky take on this, and I've gone USA.
Talk me through your thinking.
I'm doing quite badly in the round so far, and I'm reversing my instincts.
Good stuff. Henry?
So you've learned to not trust yourself. That's the one thing that's come out of today. Trust yourself. So I'm
complete
going
loss
UK.
Of faith in any sort of knowledge base or gut feeling.
The only chance you've got is do the opposite of what you think. That's the only chance. Yeah. So I'm thinking UK because I have a thought process behind this, which is the Kinks never made it as big as they could have done in America because they did a tour there where, because they're brothers, aren't they?
Mm. Yeah.
I want to say Ray Winston.
Ray Davis,
that's right.
Ray Winston and Ray Kink. Yeah.
That's right.
The brothers.
Brothers.
Yeah.
Ray Davis and his brother had a fight on stage and someone got punched. And because of that, it was a criminal thing and they didn't get their visas approved, whatever, their visas were cancelled and they couldn't tour in America for 5 years or something. And they blame not being big in America on that fact. So I'm going to say UK.
Well, it's a point for Henry. It got to number two in the UK and it's a bit of a tricky question, this. It was never released in the US.
There you go, because they never...
Oh.
They just...
Because they were...
They shat the bed US-wise, which is a shame because they're an excellent band.
Yeah.
Okay, final question.
Okay.
The Final Countdown by Europe.
Oh, yes.
Very good. Yeah. We're heading to Venus. Venus. It's such a kind of bold first line, isn't it, to a song?
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you go from there? We're heading to Venus.
But then they say, but still we stand tall, as if going to Venus is a sort of shame-making thing to do.
No, presumably it's because you're going to need a cramped spacecraft.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah.
But then if you're standing tall within a cramped spacecraft, you've got a problem.
Unless it's like a euphemism for sort of just pinching off a loaf or something like that in a public toilet. I don't know.
What?
Do you know what I mean?
Heading for Venus?
Yeah. I don't know. It's a long time ago.
What, but doing it standing
language
tall?
Language evolves. That's the beautiful thing about language. It evolves, it changes. And that might have been the phrase du jour for such an action.
Heading to Venus?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm just heading to Venus.
Yeah.
But I'm standing tall. I'm in a hurry, so I'm not going to sit down.
Exactly, yeah.
So I'm almost certainly going to
this is almost guaranteed, yeah.
And I'm going to have to write a song about this to get over it.
Okay, so...
By the way, so where are they from?
I think Sweden.
Okay, yeah,
but
good.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Then English isn't their first language. Anyway.
Right, Mike, was it bigger in the US or the UK?
I'm saying USA.
Okay.
I think it took the world by storm.
Henry?
Just for fun, I'm going to say UK. I'm not sure, but I'm going to say UK.
Okay. It got to number eight in the US. It got to number one in the UK. It's a point for Henry. Now, incredibly, you finished on a draw.
Really?
Oh.
You both have 6 points each, so that means it's time for a tiebreaker.
Yes, please.
Okay, sure. Okay, fine.
Okay, I'm looking at the page, Cliff Richard discography.
Okay.
And so am I. And so I'm pretty sure is Mike. Let's do this.
I earlier referenced his foreign albums that only were released in foreign countries. For example, My Danish Collection.
Yeah.
How many albums has he released? Albums that were not released in the UK, only released abroad.
I have an answer.
Okay, Mike?
I've gone for, I may have underdone it, 12.
Oh, look 12. At this. This is good drama. I've gone for 13.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I'll read them out for you. Released in Germany, Cliff's Greatest.
Lovely.
Nice. Released in the US, It's All in the Game.
Hmm.
Released in Germany, Cliff International.
Mm-hmm.
This is such a different era, isn't it? The era of albums, where you're just literally coining in money when, yeah. when you lovelessly rubber stamp these ideas. It's just isn't it?
Released in Scandinavia only, Power to All Our Friends.
Mm.
Then released in Germany, Seine Großen Erfolge.
I've got huge ear crows.
His greatest successes.
Well done.
Then released in Australia, Cliff Richard's 20 Golden Greats. Then released in Austria.
No way that all 20 of those are golden or great, but anyway, yeah.
Released in Austria, Move It, Seine Besten Songs.
Yep.
Then released in Holland, Grooster Hits.
Nice.
Okay.
Then released in New Zealand, 1958 to 1981. Then released in Australia, 25 Years of Gold. Then released across Europe, Remember Me. Then released in New Zealand, They're 40 Big Ones.
There's no way he didn't release 40 Big Ones.
Oh, we're on 12 so far. There's any more. It's over.
Then he released, in the Netherlands only, the definitive rock and roll album. Then he released in the Netherlands only, the definitive film and musical album.
You know
then
what?
He released in the Netherlands only,
I'm
the definitive hit album.
I'm using the Bonjo principle because I'm one above Mike.
You are. Then he released the definitive love album. Then he released Meine Grossen Irrfolge again, but in a different country. Then he released
My Gross Irrfolkens.
Then he released, Pure Gold, Det Beste av de Beste.
Yeah.
Which was in Chaucer in English, of course.
Yeah. That's right. We're all going on a summer holiday. I'm not good at doing that voice. Mike's good at that. It's such a piss take, isn't it? The era of albums. You could just coin it in.
Then he released Miss Unites. Then he released 40 Years of Hits in Holland. Then he released 40 Jahre. And then he released My Danish Collection. Altogether, 22 foreign-only albums. And Henry gets the points. Henry wins for today.
Blimey. All right, I think...
Congratulations,
I don't really
Henry.
Feel I deserved that, but I'll take it.
Nice.
Congratulations, everyone.
Well, thank you. Congratulations. And thank you. Thank you, Benjamin. Great quiz. Benjamin.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. That was excellent.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed
that. Well, join us next time for Bonjo's House of Pain.
Mmm.
See you then.
If you dare.
Oh, no. Oh, these questions are really dry. Oh, no.
I want to go home, but it feels socially awkward.
You find yourself out walking in the rain. The wind is howling like a runaway train. A voice calls out, a raspy refrain. Answer my riddles or ye will go insane. Ahead on the path is a dark domain. A man stands in front dressed in rags and chains. He says, come inside and I'll ruin your brain. Welcome to Bonjo's House of Pain.